Our New Testament lessons this morning come from, first of all, 2 Corinthians and then Matthew. We're going to read from 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. And this the sermon will be largely placed on this scripture. Hear now the word of our Lord. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be with of one mind, live in peace, and the love of the God of love and peace be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, if you'll turn to the book of Matthew and chapter 28, the final verses of Matthew, often referred to as the Great Commission, we'll read verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. If you'll remember, when Mary saw Jesus at the tomb, he told her to tell the disciples to go to Galilee and wait for me there. Actually, the angel at the tomb told the women first, and then they encountered Jesus who told them again. And so the disciples did this. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we refer to as the Trinity. How do we understand the God who introduced himself to Moses as I am? Who introduced himself throughout Scripture as the one God, the only God, who gave us in his commandments to worship him and no other God, and yet we worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus Christ was born of Mary, fully man, and yet fully God. We know that Jesus Christ, before he departed, said, "I will send a helper to you. I will send an advocate to you. I will send the Holy Spirit to you, to be with you." We know the Holy Spirit is God. How can we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, and yet have one God? How are we to understand that? Of course, I've oft-quoted C.S. Lewis, who said, "It is folly to think that the invention will ever truly understand the inventor." You do not have to understand too much when you go out on a morning like this and you look at the sun and you look at the mountains and you look at the trees and you feel the warmth. and you feel the breeze, and you know that it is good. You can know that it is good without knowing how many BTUs of heat the sun puts out. You don't have to know the dimensions of the sun or the distance from the earth. You don't have to understand what forces it is that causes the breezes to occur to know it is good. You can hold a baby in your arms and feel it cooing, hear it cooing to you, and feel the warmth, and hold it, and feel know how good it feels, without contemplating how the baby was conceived, or why it looks like this, and why it doesn't look like that. You can know it is good. So many people let things that we cannot fully comprehend about God interfere with their love of God, with their faith in God, and with their confidence in Jesus Christ, and with their communion with the Holy Spirit. So, what do we know about this Trinity, about this three-person in one God? In Corinthians, Paul told us a lot. He said, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I've done a lot of reading and thinking about this scripture. You know, it's important, if you were to understand a verse of scripture, to spend time with that scripture, to dwell upon that scripture. Take a week and contemplate that scripture. Read about that scripture. Study where that scripture comes from, what it means, how it fits in the context of the Bible. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What is the grace of God? Well, my briefcase is zipped shut. I won't open it. But I have books in there about the grace of God. And you know what? There's not a definition of grace in there. You know, grace is a word a lot like love. It's very hard to define, but we know it when we see it. We can describe its effects, and we mourn its loss. But it's hard to define. What is the grace of Jesus Christ? The grace of Jesus Christ is found many places. The grace of Jesus Christ is found in the Beatitudes when you read this. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. These are descriptions of grace. Blessed is the one who is persecuted for my sake. Those are forms of grace. Jesus showed us grace when he said that he did not come to conquer the world, but to serve. He was showing his grace. Jesus showed us his grace when he washed his disciples' feet. Jesus showed us his grace when he raised Lazarus from the dead, when he healed the people, when he continued to teach the word of his Father even when the people sought to stone him. Jesus showed us his grace when he decided to obey his Father in the wilderness, to turn away from the temptations of the evil one, of Satan. He showed us his grace when he refused to demonstrate his power by jumping off the temple and allowing the angels to rescue him. Jesus showed us his grace when he willingly allowed himself to be captured in the garden and to be beaten and tortured and nailed to the cross for you and for me. Jesus showed us his grace when he taught us how to pray, how to seek the Father. He shows us his grace when he forgives our sins. He shows us his grace when, nailed upon the cross, he willingly accepts the guilt, the blame, the weight of my sin upon himself. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship or communion is probably a more accurate translation, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The love of God. I said that grace is as hard to describe as love, but we can see what love does. The love of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are without beginning and without end. Yet God created man in his own image to love, to share with. God could have created a perfect being, a being that would always obey, a being that would never fail, a being that would never make mistakes, a being that would always be loving and generous and kind and forgiving. But God chose to create man and woman and allow them to live and make mistakes and get angry and to forgive and to love. For God so loved the world. God shows his love when he forgave the people that he had sent Jonah to condemn. He had told Jonah to go and see the people in Nineveh and tell them that they have not repented, that they have worshipped idols, that they have walked away from God, and they were going to be destroyed. And their king and all the people repented and put on sackcloths and covered themselves with ashes and pounded the ground and threw themselves down and asked God to please forgive them. And God forgave them, because God so loved the world. And when the people of Israel had the golden calf built while Moses was on the mountain, and over and over and over again, the long-suffering love, the unconditional love of God has been there for you and for me. For God so loved the world. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How do you understand the Holy Spirit? How do you understand the communion with the Holy Spirit? Are you in communion with the Holy Spirit? We understand the Lord's Supper that we celebrate on the first Sunday of each month here and on special occasions. We understand that Jesus ordained that, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we seek communion with Christ. But that communion is delivered to us through the Holy Spirit. How do you commune with the Holy Spirit? Do you only communicate with the Holy Spirit when he shouts? Or when he whispers? We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to seek the Holy Spirit. We need to sit and be quiet and dwell with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in communion, in communication with the Holy Spirit. We need to talk with the Holy Spirit. Much of the time, we understand the advocate that Jesus Christ said that he would send us, like a prisoner sitting in a cell and his lawyer sits there and they're sitting side by side in the cell and the prisoner refuses to talk to his attorney, refuses to talk to his lawyer. How can the lawyer advocate for the prisoner when the prisoner refused to communicate? And why do I use the word term? Why do I use a prisoner as an example? The reason is because we make ourselves prisoners. Jesus Christ offers us freedom. The door has swung open, but we still sit in the cell. Because we won't be in communion with the Holy Spirit. The advocate is there for us. The advocate is ready to hear us. The advocate is ready to speak to us, to guide us, to counsel us, to guide everything we say, everything we do, everything we think. The door is open and we sit in the cell. The communion of the Holy Spirit is a two-way conversation. We can speak to about anything, and it will be held in confidence. We can share anything with the Holy Spirit. Sure, when the Holy Spirit shouts and grabs us by the collar and shakes us up, we listen. But that's kind of like, you ever walk down the street with children or grandchildren, and they're walking about 10 steps ahead of you in the store, and you say, no, turn left. No, the other left. Turn over there. No, go this way. Stop, stop. Don't go out on the curb. Doesn't work so well. It's hard to lead from behind. We can't get out ahead of the Holy Spirit. We need to follow the Holy Spirit, not go out ahead and having the Holy Spirit shouting, say, no, come back. Don't do that. Don't say that. We need to follow the Holy Spirit. We need to pause before we speak and ask the Holy Spirit what we should say. We need to pause before we think too much and ask the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts. We need to pause before we do that, and because we can't take it back. We need to follow from behind and follow the lead of our advocate that Jesus Christ has given you who believe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, it's hard to understand the triune God, the Trinity, and how that works and why that is. But we don't have to understand it to know that it is very good. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.